Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, you're running with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Yes, it's Thursday, May 26th, another Celtics-Heat Eastern Conference Finals game, another double-digit win. This is getting old. This one goes to the Celtics. I won't say the score. John hates it, but Celtics won, I promise you that. They now lead 3-2 with the series going back to Boston on Friday after a big second half. But here's the deal. I think our suspicions, John, as you close your eyes and take this in deep, our suspicions about Miami being out of gas, being too banged up physically, they were confirmed last night. Well, they were confirmed last night. Also, I'll offer you this before you come in here talking, because I know you got a lot to say today. You in a good mood today, ain't you? The Game 5 winner in 2-2 series, obviously, NBA playoff history, go on to win 82% of the time, essentially. So, Celtics in 6. As your boy predicted before the series.
You are.
Can a brother get a clap, Brad?
Can a brother get a clap?
This is going to finish in 6, just like I said.
You got Grizzlies in 6.
Thank you, BC.
You got Warriors in 6. You got Celtics in 6. And you have Mavs in 5, correct? Warriors in 5.
Are you about to mess up the whole thing?
Yes, Warriors in 5. So this would be 4 straight. You know how much money you would have made if you'd actually wagered on the correct score of each of these series?
When I bet, I only bet wrongly. So I wouldn't have done that.
Well, you look right. You look like you're going to nail all 4 of these.
On these, I'm looking good.
And then in the finals, you have what?
Just give me some time.
All right.
I want to see it. But I do believe, we're not going any further in either one of these 5. One more game for each.
Agreed.
It'll be Celtics and Golden State. We'll decide from there.
Yeah. We have a big show, big NBA show planned for you today. We're going to be joined by Ryan McDonough at 11:25, Odyssey NBA Insider. Then Matt Moore is going to join us at 12:25. Then at 1:25, as you know, yesterday we had a mission. We were on a mission. Sniffed it out. There was one vote there in the All NBA voting that stuck out, right? And it was that Desmond Bane vote.
No one cared who I was till I put on the mask.
For 13, one vote, Just hanging out there, one brave soul. And that brave soul is Frank Isola, who is going to join us today at 1:25. And this is not to ridicule him by any stretch of the imagination. This is really to celebrate him.
We appreciate it. See, we're going to see, can he be first team or second team next year?
Because who
if
among
Frank
us
thinks he can make that kind
who
of
who among us is not on the search for constant validation?
Let me ask you this. Let me tell you this. I'm very proud of our effort yesterday because it was a team effort.
It was.
And John, I know you have a lot of things planned to say, but if you'll just give me 2 seconds here. That was who noticed that Bane had the one first place vote? Right?
The story y'all.
Right. I noticed that.
You did.
Now we're gonna get very specific about this.
And then we're talking about team effort here,
yes,
Brad.
Listen.
Then across the glass, right before the show ended,
yes,
who was able to find out, right, who cast that vote?
John Martin. Okay.
And then right after we get off the show, who is able to quickly and deftly book Frank Isola.
That's Brad Carson.
That's Brad Carson.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was a three-man team effort yesterday.
I loved it.
And I'm proud of us.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to talk to Frank Isola.
Let me ask you like you see that, baby? It's a team effort.
Team effort,
yeah.
baby.
That's
great
exactly
content.
Right.
And
fun.
Now we're going to get a great interview.
I'm actually,
well.
In all seriousness, like Frank is a national guest. I was excited to have him on the show.
Well, and
good effort all around. Well, let's just pat ourselves on the back.
That's what we're doing today.
He's excited to be on the show.
I hope so.
That's the most important thing. Now, if we are the Boston Celtics, who's who?
Right.
Who's who on this?
Well, you know I'm light-skinned. My son plays for the War Eagles like Tatum. I'm going to be Jason Tatum.
All right.
If that's fine with
that's
you.
That's fair.
So who does that make me then? Brown? I got to be Jaylen Brown?
Well, that would make Brad Marcus Smart.
No, who's that little guard they got from Oregon?
Pritchard.
Give me Peyton Pritchard.
All right, you can be Peyton Pritchard.
Tough.
He'll make some
Don't
plays.
Don't underestimate him.
He'll make some plays. There's no doubt about
it. Because
I am rather white, so yeah. I figured, you
the
know.
The whitest.
Again, I've made
Super
the mistake
white.
Of underestimating you on a yeah. church court. It will not
I don't
have
know about
many
that.
A fool has.
I don't know.
More
it's
athletic
poor,
than he looks.
Honestly.
More athletic and stronger than he looks.
I wish I had Peyton's shot.
I like the Pritchard call.
I'll be honest. I think Tyler needed some new shoes, man. I think that was really just a revelation that his shoes had really failed him.
It's like
moment.
Zion basically out
yes,
there.
Yes. I mean, because if you get done up by Brad, I mean, I don't think he's played since then. And I think that's
you
probably appropriate
really at that point.
Yeah. We are really giddy about Frank Isola.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no.
Can you tell? Like
yeah,
there's a little giddiness, and I love it. I love the energy.
Was he on the Around the Horn? Is this show? Yeah, he's on the most, right?
Yeah. I'm hopeful that it meets the moment, right?
And yeah. But
really, it's just a chance. Like, what is it about Desmond Bane that you love so much, right? What is it about that his game that makes you think he's
well,
the team?
And I think the interesting thing is the Grizzlies sticking out enough nationally for him to be on his radar. It's kind of random and sort of cool.
My guess is going to be Grizzlies were the 2 seed. I decided to give them 2 players.
Right.
Isn't that going to be it?
Well, we'll find out. 125.
I think that's it. That might be the answer. Yeah.
And probably what Bane did while Ja was down. Pretty impressive at that point,
that's
too,
true.
For that stretch of games.
Yep, so that's all up on the show today. Let's do some over-under, folks.
Okay. It's Jason and John's over-under. Over. Over. Under. Under.
And it's a giddy over-under. I won some money last night on that Celtics game.
Congrats!
I went on Superbook, our new sponsor of the studio phone
Love
line
it.
Here.
Did you do the $1,000?
And the way that not to overdo it here because we'll be talking plenty about Superbook.
Do what you have to do.
But if you do our new sign up for Superbook, I found this out. They don't just give you the $1,000 in credit and show it to you. It's incremental. So, like, let's say you bet $25, like Brad Carson did last night.
Okay.
You incrementally get it accrued to your account, and you see it $1,000, and then they'll put match 10. You know,
gotcha.
Like they sort of feed it in there. It's very cool how they do it.
Right.
So I did win last night
Good
on the Celtics.
Congrats,
yeah.
Brad.
So I'm feeling a little extra giddy today. I hadn't had any money in the account for a while, Jason, and I started a new account with Superbook.
Happy for you.
There you go. Let's go to tonight's game. We're going to have it on 92.9. It's Golden State and Dallas. Golden State is the heavy favorite here. Golden State -7 against Dallas, over under -7.
Over under.
Well, I've got some numbers that you're going to love, especially if you have Warriors in 5.
Mm-hmm. Give them to me.
Any kind of bozo out there that would have picked that stupid ass pick before this series started. The Warriors are 17-3 against the spread in their last 20 quote unquote revenge games at home, and they are a perfect 8-0 against the spread in their last 8 when they are avenging a double digit loss. Historically, and by the way, the Grizzlies included in that, right?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, we're taking out our own.
The Grizzlies blew the hell out of the Warriors here in Memphis in Game 5. They came back. They did not cover that number, 8.5, in that closeout game. As you remember, the tsunami hit with about 6:55 left in the game.
Yeah, that was sad.
playoff favorites of at least 7 points following the same series road loss of at least 10 points have gone 19-7 against the spread in their last 26. So what that says is that the odds are against Dallas tonight. Right,
and thanks for that.
And I can show you too if a winner of a game 4 going back to the other team's place in a game 5, I can show you a huge disparity there as well in terms of percentages. I believe that team that wins game 4 is only 26% against the spread in game 5. So I just it's hard for me to trust Dallas in this spot because they are so volatile, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they depend on G League guys. They depend on, you know, Ja Morant's Murray State teammates, essentially. Yeah. And they might make 23s, you know?
Yeah.
They might make 4, And so in a spot where the Warriors have not lost all playoffs long, in a closeout situation. Now, I will say they did not cover the number against Denver in their closeout game in the first round.
Oh.
They only won that game 5-4, and they were trailing going into the fourth quarter. But again, like, Dallas and Denver are just two – they're constructed in very different ways, right?
Yeah.
The strength of Dallas is only their three-point shooting.
Much
and
more
Luka,
reliant on
– Right, and Luka.
And a superstar.
But you know, Jokic was a guy who could pick up a foul, who could get to the foul line, and is just dominant on the interior, which Dallas does not have that guy.
Yes.
A lot of smart people I know, it's very sharp. It's a very sharp play to say Dallas plus seven. The problem is if you are an underdog and you lose the game outright, you're not covering in these playoffs, right? Like, Miami's up 5 at the half last night. They get blown out. It's a 13-point loss, which in a game like that felt more like 30, right?
True.
You're not losing and covering as the dog. You're either winning outright or you're getting blown out in these playoffs. Do I really think that Dallas is going to win the game? They were up 14 in game 2, right, at the half, up 19 at one point, came back, Warriors covered the freaking number. You know, that's a 26-point turnaround. I just don't see it. You can talk about teams that are out of gas. I could look stupid. I could be wrong. I don't know that I'm going to bet it. I don't feel super strong about either one of these. But if I had to go a specific way, because I don't think Dallas can win the game, I would say Warriors and the points.
That was a deep breath.
Because that was the most long-winded way. That was like opening arguments.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm giving you the analytical, you know, breakdown to the number. You know, I could just say Dallas is going to lose, you know.
Right.
Warriors are better.
Which is what I'm going to do.
Which is true.
Because the number you left out after I told you that, frankly, they wanted another free game here at the Chase Center. Because
don't say another word.
The money they rake in is that Golden State will be improving to 9-0 at the Chase Center,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not losing there, and it only takes, you touched on this, it only takes 6 minutes, it only takes half a quarter for them to turn a close game into a blowout,
yeah,
right? With Steph, and I'm telling you right now, those shots are going to drop for them. This is done. Yes, I said it before, so you know it makes sense to be quick here, but Golden State's going to close them out. They're going to cover the number. It will be a storm at the end of this game. And listen, they have even further incentive because they feel like Luka is talking too much. Remember, this has been a storyline out of that last game. Clay went over to him. You're down 3-1 here. You're still talking. There's extra incentive here to shut him up. They will roll and cover the 7. You're welcome.
Well, why not?
Wow.
Why not just lose tonight so you get another game?
Are you questioning me and my picks here?
Let's get another game of revenue.
No way. You don't do that. You don't play like that. You're going to get two more at least, John, in the finals.
Yeah.
You take care of business because the Celtics are about to as well. They'll cover.
This man is a swami, John.
He has been on fire with the series prices.
Lately. Let's not mess it up.
Yeah, I mean, game to game, you know, I have respect for this, but I need to see the game to game. I need to see the day to day. You know,
you don't care how the sausage is made. You just want the hot dog, right? You're going to eat it, aren't you?
Man,
and you see
what,
that hot dog has been right on these series picks.
These conference finals have kicked my ass. First thing around, I was really doing well. Conference finals have just kicked my ass.
Did you gamble last night?
I did have the Miami Heat first quarter in game. First quarter hit.
You didn't take your own advice, bro.
I know. I should have.
Sometimes he talks himself out of it.
Yep. I just felt there were some COVID rumors, and once those kind of got put to bed, I'm like, look, I got to roll with my guys, Miami. That's the first bet I've lost in Miami all year long.
Okay.
It's the last bet I'll have on Miami for the season.
Let's go to Luka Doncic's point total for tonight. The talker himself, 34.5.
Over. Under.
So in elimination games, Luka Doncic actually averages 54 points a game.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Not a joke.
It's 5 straight 30-point games when facing elimination. Like it's pretty phenomenal.
And I mean, what's the historical comparison? Is there a historical comparison?
It's up there with the GOATs.
Damn.
Yeah. I don't have it in front of me, but I guarantee you it is.
Look, I don't know that Dallas can win, but I know that Luka is going to go out swinging. That I know. And if the number is 34.5, you got to give me the over. I mean, it's sharp. Like these point totals, by the time we get to these, you know, points in the season, they're very, very razor sharp. But I would certainly not want to take the under on this. Because if it's that means that Reggie Bullock and Dorian Finney-Smith and all these guys are going to be contributing big-time nights. I don't see that as much.
Road game, baby. You won't get that from them.
I know, like, the stat, like, they've lost the last four times that Luka has had 40, right?
Yes.
That's the stat.
That's that old Michael Jordan, man. Didn't work.
But,
you know, playoffs, him scoring 40, 50, didn't matter. You lose those games. You got to figure out how to make it more of a team game, get more of a sporting cast.
What's more likely, that the Mavericks recreate what they did in game four, or that Luka has to put it all on himself? I would say
Luka putting it all on himself.
Exactly. So if I were going to bet it, I would have to bet the over on this.
He's averaging 33 for the series. He's going to go out firing, like John said. I'm going to lean over here as well,
so,
even though, clearly, like I said, I still think Golden State's going to want to stop him. It's not going to matter. Luka's going to take the shots.
Yeah.
And so with the rest of the team supporting Cavs not hitting shots on the road, yes, Luka's going to go out scoring on the over here.
Just to recap here then. So we think Golden State minus 7 still, even if he goes over 34.5.
Yes.
Yes.
Because no one else will make shots.
It's fair.
Especially not the Bullocks and Klebas.
No, the only way that Dallas can cover slash win the game is if Luka, you know, does not have to go off. I mean, I know that sounds
weird.
That's
actually fair.
But it's those role players that they have counted on in every series.
Correct.
You know,
he's been there all series long. And basically all playoffs long.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Celtics versus Miami. The game tomorrow night will be on 92.9, and Celtics looking pretty strong here with Miami kind of hobbling. The number minus 9 is what I'm looking at here on the page. Over, under?
Over, under.
It's a big number, even though it's back in Boston, obviously.
Big ass
still
number.
A big number, isn't it, John?
Yeah, to me, there's only two ways to play this. You either play the 9, Celtics minus 9, or you play Miami money line. I don't think there's any value whatsoever in playing Miami plus 9. I think they either get their ass kicked or they win this game outright. And I'm leaning more towards the former. As much as I love Miami and made money on Miami all year long, you watched them last night. Everybody talked about the first half, and they did. They played hellacious defense in the first half. They still only had 42 points, right? And they finished with 80. They just don't have the offensive firepower in these playoffs.
Got Hero out too. It's hurting them.
Yeah.
You know, you got Kyle Lowry out there playing on one leg because Hero's out.
Yeah,
and he's struggling.
They're banged up.
It's awful when you watch that team right now. How banged up they are.
Max Strus and Kyle Lowry combined
0 of 15.
Yikes.
I knew it was bad.
It's the worst shooting performance for a starting backcourt in a playoff game ever.
Oof. Strus got a good story, but when you have to depend on him in a playoff game to be the guy.
Now, what is it that happened to Lowry that made him so terrible?
He's hurt.
Hamstring.
He's just banged up.
Hamstring,
yeah.
That's it?
Yep.
You know, hamstring messed you up.
Yeah, Will, it'll hobble you.
It's messed up Chris Paul plenty of seasons.
Tony Allen, remember? He had that
hamstring.
In the Golden State series, what was this? That was,
Yep. And they brought him back, right?
Yeah.
And he was terrible.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah, I remember that. That's it. The hamstrings take time. You got to get off them.
Yeah,
you know, before you're back right.
Okay.
So, anyway, I think I'm with John.
I'm leaning more towards the series being over. Yes, because Boston does not want this to go back to 7. And I don't even know. Like, even watching Jimmy last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were not guarding Jimmy, and he was just passive, man.
Correct.
He doesn't look like himself. And
that was at home.
Exactly.
Right, where you know he's going to, you know, I figured if Jimmy's got anything left in the tank, you would have seen it last night.
Yes.
And last night he's going 4 of 18, the 13 points. It just feels like they're done. It feels like the end of the road, like the wheels have
come
off.
I like the 9 points myself as well, John.
Since since we found out about the Jimmy Butler injury at halftime of game 3, the Celtics have outscored the Miami Heat 251 to 209. Jimmy Butler in that same time, 19 points, 7 of 32 in 67 minutes.
They could not score more than 23 and a quarter all night last night.
Yeah, they
can't manufacture offense right now.
It's the end of the road.
And Bam ain't just, you know, I know he had 18.
A lot of that came in garbage time.
But exactly.
Yeah.
He hadn't been a rock for them inside at all. In fact, I would tell you he's come up short for them.
Other than game 3 when Rob Williams did not play.
Right.
So, yeah. I agree. I would, if I were playing this game, it would be Boston minus 9.
All right, let's go to the big story of yesterday afternoon. This broke the number of games Colin Kaepernick, who did try out or at least threw some balls for the Raiders, looked at it on the field there. How many games will he play next season for the Raiders? 0.5?
Over. Under.
Oh, under. This is ridiculous.
Not happening.
This is ridiculous. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. People tweeted me, like, this guy has been on a couch for 5 years, and I'm supposed to believe he's going to come in here and beat out, like, real backups, like Nick Mullins, who's, like, actually started NFL games in the last 2 years. I mean, not a chance. Not a chance. This is just a, I don't know if this is a favor or a publicity stunt or whatever. no disrespect to Colin Kaepernick. This has nothing to do with him as a person or his cause. That's a totally separate conversation. This guy is not going to be on an NFL roster next season or ever again.
I just, knowing what I think I do about Mark Davis, I just look at this and it feels like publicity stunt. It feels like, you know, my dad was the first guy, first team owner to draft a black quarterback. My dad brought in Art Shell, right, first black head coach. I got to try to do something, too. I got to try to make my mark. You know what I'm saying? I fear that. I fear that. I'd like for Kaepernick to get a fair shake, and if that shake says, man, you ain't played since 2016, you ain't got it no more, and it's, no, you can't cut the mustard, then that's fair and you move on. But I'd like for him to get a fair one. This one smells to me of publicity stunt.
Right.
Right, and you tell him, yeah, man, we're going to give you a fair shot here, John. That, like you said, you still got Mullins in the organization, right?
Yes.
Well, there's not a need for a backup quarterback, and I'm sure Colin – you know, I know he said since, look, I'd be willing to take that role now, but this be more for a three. Are you even going to make the team? And so, again, from that standpoint, it just smells like...
He hasn't played since just put it in perspective, he hasn't played since the first year we started doing the show.
Mark Davis trying to... for me, it feels like a publicity stunt, trying to do something.
He went to Nevada, Reno. Like,
you know, have some positive headlines. Look at, you know, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah,
I hope I'm wrong on that, but whatever. It didn't.
I mean, it's just like you don't.
It's so random.
Nobody gets a shot when they've been out of the league for 6 years. Nobody comes back after a 6 year hiatus. It just doesn't happen. Mike Vick was like two, you know.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, all right, we'll come back. Ryan McDonough is going to join us on the other side. Talk to him about the NBA playoffs and more. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM. Yes.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List, you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah. Ryan McDonough is an Odyssey NBA insider. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. Today, Ryan, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Always great to be on with you guys, especially now that it looks like we know what the NBA Finals matchup is going to be.
Yep. Absolutely. So before we get to that and everything that happened last night and the preview of the game tonight, can you remember a playoffs where it feels like every important game, every high-stakes game essentially ended up being a double-digit victory for the winner? It just feels like every game has been so lopsided one way. Can you remember a playoffs like this?
No, I can't. And I've been thinking a lot about the reasons why. And I've come up with a few things that are both related to health and rest and the compressed schedule. Keep in mind, guys, these two teams, the two teams that played last night in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat, played in the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago, two seasons ago. However, that was in late September, early October of 2020. So since then, we've played another season, and now now another season after that. So I think it really is becoming a battle of attrition. I think you're seeing that with the injuries to star players. A lot of guys are trying to gut it out. They're clearly not right. Kyle Lowry's probably the poster boy for that, who I give him a ton of credit. He's one of the toughest guys in the league, but he just can't move, and it's not effective. So I think that's what's going on. I think it's the compressed schedule. I think that impacts player health, fatigue, and the injuries. And guys are doing the best they can. But as you guys know, when these guys are healthy, we see 80-point halves sometime. Now where you're seeing 80-point games where Miami is scoring 82, you know, two games ago and then 80 last night. And I think most of that is due to fatigue and in the injuries as well.
Mark Cuban's throwing in play-in. Do you buy that one as well, that he thinks the play-in's
no,
right?
Okay. I think that's Mark just being contrarian. Mm-hmm. If you look at the schedule, this year is back on schedule. It's right. What everybody in the league wanted, who I've talked to, players, coaches, executives. It is the traditional July 1 to June 30th calendar. The draft will, you know, the finals will start on June 2nd. The draft will be on June 23rd. Free agency starts July 1st. That's what everybody I've spoken with in the league wants. The problem is the past 2 years haven't been that way, so everything mm-hmm. is compressed and condensed. But I think the play-in has been a smashing success. Frankly, it's something I wish I had, especially when I was in the Suns front office early before we launched into the rebuild and we're winning 48 games a year and not making the playoffs. I mean, I think the more you can incentivize teams to compete all the way to the end, whether it's for home court advantage, getting in the top six to avoid the play-in or positioning in the play-in, I think that's a good thing, and I think that's something that's here to stay.
In terms of last night, is that sort of what you're seeing, right? I mean, Miami did take game one. Granted, Horford and Smart did not play. They won game three. But I don't know. Last night I saw a team that obviously played some hellacious defense, but they just, you know, Jimmy doesn't look like himself. Bam cannot do anything with Robert Williams. Is this a situation where Miami's got too many nicks, too many nagging injuries, Hero didn't play, and they don't have any answer for what Boston's throwing at them?
I think it's the combination of two things. The first is what you mentioned, Miami just running out of gas. Their backcourt in particular. I mean, they were 0 for 15 combined last night, Kyle Lowry and Max Strus. You add in Tyler Herro not playing. Strus left the game with an injury. Those are your three best guards, and you've gotten essentially nothing from them. So I think that's the first factor. And the second, guys, is on the other side of it, you have to give the Celtics a ton of credit. Yeah. I mean, this was a team who was 16-19, and I'm from the Boston area. I worked for the franchise for a decade. I can't remember the Celtics fan base, which I grew up a part of, ever being as down on a Celtics team. They really disliked this team last year in 2021, and then all of a sudden, right around New Year, something clicked. Ime Udoka did a terrific job, and the players refocused. And since then, since the calendar flipped to 2022, they've been the best defense in the league. So I think it's a combination of Miami being banged up with their stars, who you mentioned, a lack of backcourt talent, and also a stifling Boston defense leads to some ugly results, like you saw last night, but also leads to Celtics wins. And I'm predicting Boston closes this one out tomorrow night in Game 6.
Yeah, I wonder if you subscribe to this too, Ryan. I think it was back in November, and I'm with you completely on the turnaround. I've watched this team, you know, defensively tighten up under a first-year coach. It's been fantastic. And Jason Tatum is rising. But I think it was in November, correct me if I'm wrong, you watched them closely, where Marcus Smart called out Tatum and Brown publicly. And in a lot of those situations, right, it has a tendency sometimes to disintegrate, if you'll see that public call out. But those young guys, to their credit, I mean, it's like they responded. We were asking questions about whether they could coexist, and now they're operating at this high level. It's sort of like, and you know, not to the degree, but it's like Mike and Scotty in the sense you got two Dobermans who know it now and they're playing well. Just did Marcus Smart in doing, why did it work in this case?
Great observation and a terrific question. I think it worked because of who Marcus Smart is. He's a warrior. He's a pit bull, obviously defensive player of the year, puts his heart on the line every night. I mean, you watch the guy play over the course of 82 games. He hits the floor as much as any player in the league. He takes charges. He does all the dirty work. So I think when you play like that, and those guys obviously have a relationship, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart, they've been together for a number of years. So Tatum and Brown know who Smart is and how he plays and what he's capable of. So I think it came from a position of love and a position of wanting to do what's best for the franchise. He wasn't trying to throw anybody under the bus. He certainly wasn't trying to drive anybody out of town or get himself out of town. He was trying to help the team win, and they really responded to it. And I agree with your assessment of Tatum as well. Watching the team closely, the development I've seen that I think started with Tatum but has flowed to the rest of the team is Jason's playmaking, his willingness to make plays for others, make sacrificial passes. There was a beautiful drive and kick to the corner last night for Al Horford, hit a three. That has really stood out to me. I thought in years past he was way too isolation heavy, and it was take turns basketball where he tried to score first, second, and maybe even third, and then when every avenue to score was shut off, he'd begrudgingly pass the ball and kind of stand around without it. Now he's driving to get two on the ball to make plays for others, and I think that's really opened up the Celtics offense.
In terms of tonight, I think most people do expect the Warriors to get it done and move on to the finals here. What about the number, though? I am curious. At seven here, we know how volatile the Dallas Mavericks can be. It really is a matter as simple as does the three go in, does the three not go in. Do you think the Warriors just run away here and cover the number if you were capping this game? What do you think?
That is a lot of points, although I think it's probably a close game, but I wouldn't bet on the Mavs just because the Warriors in that building are so explosive, and I could see a scenario in which it's, you know, a 4 or 5 point game with a couple minutes left, and then Steph hits a couple threes, Clay or Poole bang a couple in, and then all of a sudden what was a close game is an 11-point final. So I think Golden State's going to win. I think Dallas has to shoot the lights out in order to win. I think that's pretty clear given the talent discrepancy on the teams, and I don't trust Dallas to do that on the road. I think if you look at the playoffs, game three of this series notwithstanding, in which the Mavs players, role players struggled, but Reggie Bullock, Maxi Kleber, Dorian Finney-Smith, and those guys shoot the ball a lot better in Dallas than they do on the road. So from a betting perspective, at seven's a lot. I probably would stay away from it myself just because I think it's going to be right around that number, but I do think Golden State wins. I think they close it out, and then they get some much-needed rest with a banged-up Otto Porter, with Gary Payton, the second out of the lineup, but potentially returning for the finals. So I think it's very important for Golden State to close this thing out tonight, get healthy, and not have to travel back to Dallas for Game 6.
What about the long-term viability of just the way that Dallas is built? I mean, they went out and they got Spencer Dinwiddie, and that has been a big boon for them. It's been a big boost. He has had some huge games for them in these playoffs. But is the roster and the dependency on, you know, sort of these second, third-tier guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Reggie Bullock and Maxi Kleber, I mean, can they continue to expect to be in spots like this just by way of having Luka, or what are they going to need to do to make sure they stay in the mix?
You know, Dallas needs to get better. They need to upgrade their roster, and they made a brilliant trade this year and took a big step by adding Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans for Porzingis, who teams around the league have questions about his viability and durability. So I thought that was a good start. But in order to win a championship, as you guys know, you've seen the recent history of the NBA, your team can't be so dependent on one guy. Even a guy as great as Luka Doncic or LeBron James, you need multiple playmakers, multiple elite shot creators and scorers. And as I look at the best teams, including the two that I think are going to play for the finals, Boston and Golden State, I put Phoenix in this category as well. Obviously, Memphis is coming. They have multiple playmakers, multiple scoring threats, and the defenses are so sophisticated now. If they're able to load up on just one guy and take that guy away, I think they're even limited to some extent. I think it's really hard for that team to win, even as great as a Luka Doncic is. I think this is somewhat the case with Chris Paul early in his career before he got to either Houston with James Harden or now in Phoenix with Devin Booker. So that'll be the challenge for the Mavs front office. Keep in mind, guys, it's about to get expensive, though. They're second best player this year has been Jalen Brunson. He is an unrestricted free agent, and in a weak free agent class, I think Brunson's a $100 million player. So Mark Cuban and company will have to pay up to keep him, but they'll also have to try to upgrade the talent around him, especially at the center spot. Dwight Powell's a fine player, but he's not good enough to be a starter on a championship caliber team.
You know, Ryan, I've asked you this question before, I think going into the offseason or around last year, but Ja's profile continues to rise. He's obviously second team All-NBA. If you're Zach Kleiman, you've been in those front offices, how often are you checking in with him this offseason? But, you know, he's a rising star. You know he's maybe going to be the face of the league, right? So you got to give him his freedom and his independence, but he's also your most valuable asset. How closely are you monitoring what he's doing each day? How often are you checking in?
All the time. at least once a week, probably multiple times a week. Now, Ja has done everything right since he's arrived in Memphis, as you guys know, on and off the court. So you don't have any of those concerns, at least I don't, at least from afar, about you know, him not working out appropriately or getting out of shape or partying too much. You know, so it's more, hey, Ja, what do you need? What do you need as far as your skill development? Is there anything you need as far as your health relative to strength and conditioning, relative to medical treatment? Would you be willing to organize some off-season workouts? It's way too early for that now, but sometime in, you know, late July or into August, would you be willing to get the guys together either in Memphis or L.A. or Miami, wherever they want to go, you know, in continuous leadership? Obviously, they'll be talking right around June 30th, July 1. I think that'll be an easy two-way conversation about the max extension that it seems like both sides certainly want and will get done quickly. But it's more, hey, Ja, what can we do for you? What do you need? And just making sure he's good and has everything to continue to lead this franchise to great heights.
Is there a consensus from people that you talk to? I mean, it does sort of feel like Jabari Smith is going number one overall. Is there a consensus from the people that you talk to and from what you've seen that he is the best player in this draft?
I think most people around the league are leaning towards Smith, as you mentioned, although if you look at the type of the players that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond, who run the Magic front office, have drafted going back to when they were in Milwaukee, those are the guys, John Hammond in particular, who brought in Giannis. They love length, and obviously the longest player with the most, you know, potential upside in this draft is Chet Holmgren. He's certainly not a perfect fit with the roster, but I think the thought is if you're the Orlando Magic, you had one of the worst records in the league, well, if that guy could potentially be better than anybody on the roster, then you take that guy, whether it's Jabari, whether it's Chet Holmgren, whoever, and then build around that player. So, you know, it's somewhat of a difficult year to have the number one pick. I mean, obviously, you'd always rather have it than not, but I do think the talent pool is relatively flat. I don't think there's a no-brainer choice at the top. So, you know, keep an eye on Jabari. I think he'll continue to get most of the buzz. He on paper, makes the most sense, but I wouldn't rule out Holmgren as well, given the history of the, you know, the executives making the pick, and also given that Chet freak factor with his ability to shoot and block shots at that size. He's a unique prospect as well.
And then a little bit off the beaten path, but I am curious, here in Memphis, a former Grizzly, former University of Memphis assistant coach Mike Miller has started his agency. I'm assuming we're going to see more and more former players get into being agents. Did you deal with a lot of former players, you know, from your time in the front office with Phoenix? Did you find that experience to be easier, more pleasant, because you know they're coming from a experience side? Like, what do you make of just former players like Mike getting into the agent side of this?
Yeah, I didn't deal with it as much in the Celtics and Suns front offices. There were some players who, you know, former players who represented prospects, but most of them, frankly, weren't high-level players. They were more, you know, borderline NBA guys, journeymen who were in the CBA or overseas. So this, you know, recent trend of very good players, and beyond Mike Miller, you have guys like Tracy McGrady, Jermaine O'Neal representing players, Ramon Sessions, a longtime NBA point guard, is now a player representative as well. So I think it's a good trend for the league. You know, the challenge for those guys individually, obviously, be learning the collective bargaining agreement and what you can and can't do as far as contracts and negotiation and things like that. But certainly, I think the more good guys, and Mike Miller is certainly a good guy who's accomplished a lot as a player, coach, and hopefully now as an agent, the more good guys you can have around the game, influencing the players, advising them in an appropriate way, I think it's a good thing, and I think it's a trend that's here to stay. And, you know, Mike Miller, I'm sure you guys know this, but landed Paolo Banchero, who's a projected top three pick in this draft, the power forward out of Duke. So it seems like he and his agency are off to a terrific start.
What's the buzz, and then we'll let you go, what's the buzz you're hearing about Jalen Duren? I mean, at one point, I think we saw him as high as projected to go fourth. Now it feels like maybe he's more the back end, top 10. What's been the draft buzz about Jalen Duren, big man out of Memphis?
The buzz is there's a clear top three or four from most of the teams I talked to, with the three big guys that we've discussed, Jabari, Chet Holmgren, Paolo Banchero, Jaden Ivey, I think most people think will be in the top four or five, and then it tends to flatten out a lot in terms of the talent. So I bring it up because, you know, I think Jalen Duren's somewhere in that range, likely 5 to 15, you know, somewhere in that mid-lottery to just after the lottery range. But there's a lot of volatility in that range. I think there will be a lot of trades in that range. The medical physicals and the workouts have become important. So certainly there's an opportunity. The other wild card I'd throw in there, guys, is if you look at that 6-7 range, starting with Indiana, Pacers have the 6th pick, Portland has the 7th pick, and then New Orleans at 8, those teams are not wanting to draft a bunch of young guys and do it slowly. They want to springboard next year and develop quickly. So I think there may be some potential trades that come in as well, where other teams are end up picking in those mid-lottery slots and potentially Durham's in play for somebody else with the 6th, 7th, or 8th pick.
Hey, Ryan, man, great stuff
Thank
as always.
Thank you so much,
Appreciate
Ryan.
The
Love
time.
The insight.
Anytime, guys.
He is Odyssey NBA Insider, Ryan McDonough, Insider Calls, presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Yeah, Jalen Durham's going to be one of those interesting ones. Like, I don't think it's going to be a situation where it's like, you know, I don't think it'll be like that.
He said outside the lottery. I had not even considered that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been slipping.
In my mind, it's not outside the top 10. I hope I stay right on that.
But look,
he's not slipping like that.
I mean, he could. I mean, I don't rule it out.
No, he's too athletic.
But here's the thing. He's
the most physically dominant big guy in the draft.
It's not like Penny didn't use him the right way or anything like that, right? It's just a matter of like
what he is, right?
Exactly.
And he matched the
like
NBA.
Skull at Kentucky was used wrong, right?
Correct.
That cost him a lot of money.
You've been beating up Cal lately, real good.
It's a real pastime.
Yeah, you've been going hard at him.
You know, maybe
those body blows.
He's lost his touch. Dog, he can't get players no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's why you love that DJ Wagner store.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, I mean, I. It's not going to be one of those things where, ooh, he went to Memphis and he was a top 5 pick, and then he was a number 19 pick. Like, you know, no, it's just like.
No, heck no.
It's what the NBA. But I think Jalen Durant can be a really good NBA player.
He has got a beautiful 15-footer.
He's just
got
to work on it.
What he does not have is the 3-point shot. Yeah, you all got, all those big guys got to work on their shot. I think he's capable, right? He's never going to be a prolific shooter out there. He's not going to be Jaren, but can you go out there and knock it down, you know, open? Sure. I think he's a guy who's shown with that touch on. I think he can do it. When you watch him at the free throw line, it's not an ugly form. He's got a nice-looking shot. You can take that skill, refine it, and he can be decent enough to go with the athleticism and the body that does match the NBA.
Yes.
So I think he's going to be fine. He doesn't drop below top 10. That's my hope.
Yes. It's a big night for A-Ball and MJG.
Man, you saw it. Yes, I'm getting hype about it.
Yeah.
So I told my brother this morning.
We'll get into that and more. Frank Isola also, he voted for Desmond Bane. And you bring me the news that he did not vote for Ja in any of the three teams.
I have you know how you got to line it up
because
your eyes just think it's. But I've looked. I'm pretty sure he didn't have Ja on his first three teams.
Well,
so Bane was his Grizzlies representative.
Well, that is even more ridiculous if that's true.
Okay, that changes. I'm glad Frank's coming on.
I wondered if we were going to go there.
That is truly unhinged.
Again, if my eyes
you
lined up correctly,
Desmond Bane on an NBA third on an All NBA team.
He basically the only thing you could hold against Ja is the time that he missed, and that would be the case that he's made.
But he started in the All Star game.
His first team was Giannis, Jokic, Booker, Tatum, Embiid. He put two centers on it.
Okay.
All right.
Second team was Pascal, DeMar at the forwards. Luka, Trey at the guards, Bam Adebayo as the center on his second team. Third team forwards were KD and Desmond Bane. He had as a forward guards, Mikal Bridges, Steph Curry. The NBA might have flipped that on him in terms of having Mikal as a guard and Desmond as a forward. Mm-hmm. And then the center, Karl-Anthony Towns. There's no John Morant. As long as my eyes lined up right across the way.
Mikal Bridges, all NBA team, but not John Morant. Come on, dog. This is just...
I mean, that would clearly be based on his thing as Ja didn't play enough games. Clearly, that's the only reasoning possible for him not having him on the team.
Well,
on any one of the three teams.
And that's what he's going to say. And then there's like, what's the...
And then because the Grizz played,
no
they finished second in the West.
There's no real right. If that's just what you say.
So I'm sure he's thinking now, we're figuring out, because they finished second in the West, they got to have a representative. I'm going to be the only guy that puts Desmond Bane on one of these three teams. I think that's going to be the thinking. We'll see.
Right. I mean, I think that, and then like again, it's like one of those things where there's really I can't argue with you about how many games Ja Morant played.
Now Ja had more second place votes than anyone, right? In the seventh most votes and points of anybody. So he was voted mostly by everyone. Put him in on some team, and most everybody on the second. Yeah. So Frank not having him at all is almost as odd, maybe more so, than him putting Bane on. It really, truly is. Because everybody had John on the list.
Yeah. We'll get into all that when we come back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm Chelsea Messenger, helping you beat the books with BetQL. Tonight, we get an NL West matchup between the Dodgers and D-backs. The D-backs have been surprising to many this season. They're the best cover team in all of baseball, and they've handled business against their division rival Dodgers. They're 4-3 against the spread, winning two outright. Tonight, the Dodgers are sending Mitch White to the mound, and he's sporting an ERA above 6, with the D-backs being a top-3 cover team at home. Take the run and a half with the D-backs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Wing Guru has the best wings in Memphis. Those flavors are absolutely exquisite. Exotic flavors. My go-to is the garlic sriracha, but you might like the Nashville Hot. You might like the Triple J. There is a flavor at Wing Guru for everybody. Best wings in Memphis. Get to Wing Guru for lunch today.
You got to get to them. And Midtowners and Downtowners, now we got you because we got you at the Summer Avenue Food Hub. Just go to summerfoodhub.com or you can have it delivered by DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. You'll get those same wings. Best wings in town with all those 21 flavors, as John said them all. You try that Triple J. You'll love it. I'm glad John said Nashville Hot. Give it a try. Don't just hate on Nashville because we like to hate on Nashville. Billy's taken that flavor, and he's mastered it. So you got to give it a shot as well. Find Wing Guru at the Summer Avenue Food Hub, East Memphis, Bartlett, Collierville, and Millington. When you see Billy Richmond, you tell him that Jason and John sent you.
Sad news in the world of Hollywood. Ray Liotta has passed away at the age of 67, according to reports. Of course, the star of Goodfellas, but was in a million other things as well after that.
And young, 67?
67 is pretty young, right?
Yeah, man.
You're looking at that like that's next week. You know what I'm saying?
No, John, I'm not.
It comes quick, though. You look up and you're like, damn, where did the time go? I don't take time for granted at all.
Goodfellas. One of my top five ever. So, you know, that's Ray Liotta will always be that guy in Goodfellas. I could watch that movie over and over again. It's timeless. Also was Field of Dreams, was he not?
Yeah, did a lot of stuff.
He was Field of Dreams.
Yeah. I feel like, wasn't he in like a Showtime show?
Was he shoeless in Field of Dreams? Remember? Wasn't that dad? Well, was Ray his daddy?
He was one of the players, yes.
Yeah, he came out of the...
I don't remember which one.
He came out of that corn, John. Mm-hmm. You remember that? You sure don't.
I'm not a baseball
Jason
guy.
Has a little trick he does. It's... It wasn't it? And he gets the white guy who loves baseball. He's like,
oh, come on. Now you are supposed to know Field of Dreams like the back of your hand.
That's true.
You I know are. Hoosiers come better on. Than I know Field of Dreams.
Well, you tell us that every time, don't you? But that Southern Illinois for you was more basketball country.
More basketball. Yeah.
Than it was this old baseball town that I try to make it. Yeah.
It was way more hoops.
Moonlight Graham.
Yeah.
That's James Earl Jones.
James
y'all.
Earl, man.
Yeah, looking for Moonlight Graham. Great movie, Field of Dreams.
Neither one of those will John like. He won't like those old 80s.
He would love Goodfellas. He would love
it. Yeah, Goodfellas classic. I mean,
oh,
yeah.
My
that
goodness.
One's a little different. That's
oh my goodness. Yeah. That's Scorsese, right? I mean, that's one of his classics. Mm-hmm. I'd put that top five ever. Just in terms of Jason.
That would be his best movie, you would say?
Oh, for
easily
by
a long
it's certainly
mile.
The one he's most known for.
Yeah.
Remember he had moved that cocaine at the end of that movie?
Yeah.
He was like the helicopters flying above him. He was all anxious and everything else, about to have a nervous breakdown. He was sweating through the scene. He was great.
His Wikipedia page at the very top lists Shoeless Joe in Field of Dreams, Henry Hill.
I nailed it.
You did. Tommy Vercetti in the video game Grand Theft Auto Vice City from 2002.
Yes. It was his voice, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yes. That's a big deal nowadays.
How much you get paid for that? On a game as successful as Grand Theft Auto. I bet a pretty penny.
I'm assuming $700,000. I would assume
probably
seven
six figures. Yeah.
I would say a million.
At least six.
You think you got a million for voice
bucks.
You got to think, though,
that
man.
Game
this
is so
the
popular.
Biggest game.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's huge.
Licensing, you could probably do that part of your deal, maybe.
So within 2 days, Grand Theft Auto Vice City sold 1.4 million copies.
That's unbelievable. Jeez.
It was the fastest-selling game in history at the time. By 2006, it had sold 7 million copies and earned $300 million in the United States alone. Y'all don't think Ray Liotta got $1 million for his voice?
He got the real money from Pfizer advertising Chantix back in 2018. You might remember him as the spokesperson for Chantix.
Ray Liotta got the bag, man.
I think I remember it because I remember I'll tell my wife, look, he pets that nasty dog and then picks up a cracker and puts it in his mouth.
That's right. I remember that spot.
It's like you probably won't. But again, dog owners, that's not an issue for y'all. If a dog's a member of the family. It's just like touching your baby.
Jason, not a dog fan.
I'm looking it up now.
Dog fan, outside. But I also believe in
dogs outside.
Hygiene and clean.
Dogs, not in the house.
I'm looking at it right now, and there are reports that Rockstar doesn't like to pay that much for voice acting.
Also, you were wrong on your seven-figure estimate, and Brad and I are going to be right on our six-figure.
Yeah, like the guy in, I guess it was Grand Theft Auto 5, Nico.
Nico, yes.
Nico.
Nico Bellic.
Yeah, he only got 100 to do that.
Dude, in a previous life of mine,
we're talking about voice acting for a video game.
Previous life of mine, I would stand outside a GameStop, whatever the store was, to get the game.
Really?
To get Grand Theft Auto. Previous life of mine. Yes, that's how
really
up I was on this game.
The best GTA, though, by far, and there's like not even a debate on this, and I will not even entertain it. So if you have a different answer, then you're going to have to leave the studio. It's San Andreas. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like not even.
I have a hard time like remembering what went with what. You started yelling
City,
out characters. Vice City was
pretty good,
though.
It was
pretty
good, but it was like, I don't know.
But like remembering which game went with what in all in Vice City, and then, you know, I can't do. I think you're probably right.
You spent more time on San Andreas than you did the others, though, right?
Yes.
CJ and was it?
You start out on a bike.
Grape Street
in the hood.
Grove Street.
You bringing it all back. So that's where I'm a little bit different. I age wise, I'm in Brad's bracket, but I'm a little bit closer to you because I was on them games tough. Brad, for whatever reason, wasn't drawn to the games.
I was really busy as hell in the 90s
and
the 2000s.
But I'm more video game culture like you, yet closer to his age. So it's a little bit, you get a little bit of a, I'm in the middle a little bit on that.
I was traveling all over the country at that point. You know, the late 90s, early 2000s, I was on the road.
Playing basketball.
I was doing radio in Vegas and Atlantic City. I was doing an overnight radio shift in Vegas and, you know, and that sort of stuff.
You had to get to work. Get out of the house and get to work.
I was working pretty hard in those days, yeah.
Remember in the,
Man, Ray Liotta.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.